You. I know that. Praise the Lord. Acts chapter number 5, as we stand to our feet tonight. Begin reading in verse number 34, and I want you to keep your Bibles open as we look at this chapter tonight. Acts 5, verse 34. The Bible says, Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space, and said unto them, You men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who were slain. And all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the faxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished. And all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. Now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest haply you be found even to fight against God. I want to preach tonight on if it be of God. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this time that we have to gather in this place. And I pray that you'll meet with us tonight. Speak to us, speak to our hearts, our lives, encourage us through thy word. Lord, may we be stronger and bolder for thee. And may the cause of Christ go forward in our lives and in the life of this church. Lord, may thy will be done. Strengthen me and hide me, Lord, behind the cross. We're looking to you tonight. We know that from thee and thee alone can come the blessing and the guidance and the direction. So we trust that you'll meet with us, and you will guide us, and you will direct us. For it's in the name of our precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. When we go back to the early church and we see that first century church, the early believers, they were motivated or constrained, if you will, a good Bible word, by their love for the Lord Jesus Christ and because of the love that Christ had shown to them. Everything they did was because of Him. Their lives were lived because of Him and through Him and for Him. And we bring this down now to this century that we're living in, and that should be the constraining power in our lives. The motivating power in our life should be the love of Christ. When Paul was writing, he said, for the love of Christ constraineth us. And we need tonight some people that Christ is so important to that nothing else matters. Nothing else controls our interest or nothing else moves us. When we look at these believers in this story in the book of Acts, and it's one of the great, great stories in the Bible, we see that their one aim was to please the Lord. Jerusalem, when you read this story, you're going to see it had been filled with the doctrine of the apostles, and the doctrine that was that Jesus was crucified, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day. And everywhere they went, they was telling people what the Lord Jesus had done, and that he died for them, and he died for their sins. And this doctrine, this preaching was going on in place after place and in city after city. When you read the story, you're going to see that there were two that had died in the church for lying to the Holy Ghost. And the whole city was in an uproar. And they were bringing people that were sick into the streets, that just the shadow of these apostles might overshadow them, and that these people would be healed. So we see that they're out preaching, and we see that people lied to the Holy Ghost and they died, and they begin to see there's something real here. There's something powerful here. And that's where this story is. That's the setting of this. It was in all this, in this story, that this great persecution arose. And we see the reaction of these believers that love the Lord above everything else, and they realize that they were what they were because of the grace of God. Because of Christ. And in the midst of all the determination to stop their mouths, to stop these Christians from going on, there was this one man named Gamaliel. He was a doctor of the law, and he spoke, and he reminded the council of others that had come on the scene. He reminded him of Judas had come on the scene and said he had 400 people following him. And yet he died, and when he died, never heard from those people again. And then there was Judas of Galilee, who also had followers after him. And when he perished, you never heard from those followers again. And Gamaliel says to these people, these scribes, these Pharisees, these Sadducees, this particular group of Sadducees, he says to them, you know, just leave these men alone. Because if it's of the world, if it's not of God, it'll go away. But if it be of God, there's not one thing you can do to stop it. Not one thing. And if you do try to stop it, and it is of God, it's God you're going to be fighting, not these men. If it be of God, he said. This is a wise man. There's no doubt about that. He had a great understanding. And I want you to know it was of God. They could not stop it. And no man will ever stop it. And I want to look at this tonight. I want you to look at this chapter in Acts chapter number 5. And we're going to see some things about how it was of God and doing the will of God. When we do the will of God, when we do what God wants us to do, it is of God. It may cause some heartaches. But if it be of God, no man can stop it. If it be of God. If it be of God, number one, it was of God, and they suffered for him. Just because you do the will of God doesn't mean there's not going to be any suffering. You realize that? As a matter of fact, in this world there will be suffering. Isn't what Paul meant when he wrote to Timothy? Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. He didn't say you might suffer persecution. He said if you live godly in Christ Jesus, you will suffer persecution. We have to understand this. And we have to say, are we being motivated? Are we being constrained by the love of Christ? And if we are, we won't worry about being persecuted. We'll talk about that in just a little while. Notice what the Bible says in verse 17, this chapter. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. So these apostles well knew that it was their love and their likeness to the Lord Jesus Christ that brought this persecution to them. It was for His name. And they were willing to do this. They were willing to suffer for Him. This was of God. They knew this was the will of God. They knew it was the will of God for them to go and to tell people that Jesus died for their sins and that He was buried and that He rose again. But the Sadducees, they especially didn't like it because they didn't believe in the resurrection, any resurrection. They're always fighting about the resurrection. That's why they were sad, you see. How many has never heard that before? Anybody here never heard that before? Well, I'll try to find something new. Thank you, Grandma Lily. I have one fan, you know. At least for a minute, I had one. These Sadducees, they didn't believe in the resurrection. And these men just kept telling people that Jesus died for them and that He rose again. They had to suffer for that. We're soft in Christianity today, aren't we? We don't want to stand because, you know, we might offend somebody. We have to, you know, not say certain things. You know, we've got to let people know that they're sinners. I'm not talking about shoving this word down their throat, but we've got to convince people that they're sinners and they're lost and they're on their way to hell. But Jesus died for them and He rose again. And that's what we need today is believers that believe in Christ and love Him so much that they're willing to suffer for Him. And I believe the day is near and getting nearer and nearer and even upon us when we're going to be put to the test as whether we love Him enough to suffer for Him. When they tell us we can't say it, are we going to quit saying it? May the Lord help us to be strong. The only thing that matters is the will of God in our life. And if we're not willing to do that, then we don't even need to be alive. They don't have a right to tell us we can't tell people about Jesus. Nobody does. But the closer we get to the coming of the Lord, the more difficult it's going to be. The more offensive it's going to be. And there's going to be suffering. It was of God, and they suffered for Him. You know, suffering is a part of the Bible. People really, look, people on these television preachers have destroyed our society. They have destroyed. I mean, first of all, they're nothing but a bunch of heretics, a bunch of money grabbers, and wanting to take everybody's money. They live in million-dollar homes and drive million-dollar cars and have sometimes three or four houses, and you know, sickening to me, while people in their church are doing without so that they can have. It's ridiculous. And then they tell people things like this. You know, when you trust the Lord, everything's going to be okay. There's not going to be any more problems. And all you have to do is trust the Lord and send us $150 and everything will be all right. God will restore you 100-fold. You know, and there's people say, 100-fold? Wow, you know, $150. If I send $150, I only have $25, but I can write a check for $150 because I'm going to get $1,500 back. Right? There's people that believe this stuff. It's hard for you to imagine. But we stand up as fundamental Bible-believing people and we say, look, you're a sinner. And your sin separates you from God. And because of that sin, you can die and go to hell. But Jesus paid for your sins on the cross of Calvary. And if you're willing to put your faith in Him, and they're like, whoa, whoa, hold it. What do you mean calling me a sinner? I'm not so bad. You know, and then you have to take your firm stand. And then all of a sudden, man, I mean, you start suffering persecution. And then, you know, you can't go into school and tell kids about the Lord Jesus Christ, because if you do that, you know what's going to happen? They're going to throw you in jail. They're going to have all kinds of lawsuits against you. You can go tell them about Islam. You can go tell them about the devil. You can play rock and roll music. You can do all kinds of things, but you can't tell them about Jesus. What we need are some kids that's going to get on fire for God, and they'll go into school and they can do something about it. But we may have to suffer for it. We need to not be so quiet about our faith. It may make people laugh at us. It may make people mock us. It may cause some ridicule. But there is something to bearing the reproach of the cross. And we may have to suffer for our faith. 90 out of the 150 Psalms, 90 out of 150 Psalms refer to the saints of God suffering. It's easy to serve God when everything's going all right. It's easy to serve God in church, isn't it? I mean, it's easy to come to church and worship the Lord and open up a songbook and sing, you know, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. You know, we sing songs like that, or we may even sing something like, to the old rugged cross, I will ever be true. Its shame and reproach gladly bear. But on Monday, we forgot those words because we don't want the reproach. We don't want to bear the reproach of the believer. But dear friends, it is of God for us to live for the Lord and to serve Him and to give ourselves for Him. It was of God, and they suffered for Him. And just because a television preacher may say everything's going to be all right, you don't believe that. You believe what the Bible says. The Bible says all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. The Bible teaches us that when the more like Christ we are and the less like the world we are, the more we're going to suffer. It's just the way that it is. But it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. It will be worth it all when we see Christ. It was of God, and they suffered for Him. It was of God, and they were encouraged by Him. Look at verse number 19. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go, stand in the temple to the people. Go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. Now, God knew what was going on in the life of these apostles. He knew where they were. That's the thing. When we're suffering, remember, God knows where we are, and He knows exactly what it is that we're going through. And these apostles were in prison. Think about this. They were in prison, and God dispatches a band of angels to go and to open the prison door where the apostles are at. And those angels give them a little pep talk. I don't know everything they said, but the Bible says right here, they said, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of life. Well, these guys were excited because God is miraculously delivering them. They're encouraged. Do you know that when you live for God, God will send encouragement to you? There may be suffering, but God will send encouragement. Every time you're doing His will, God will encourage you, and you'll find ways to be encouraged. These angels come and they talk to them, and they let them know that God is with them all the way. I'm convinced Peter must have had the best bondsman in the world. You know? Two times he was in prison, and two times he miraculously walked out without a problem. He was in touch with the Lord, wasn't he? When we take our stand for the Lord, God will take His stand with us. That's a promise. God will give the message, and He'll give the protection, and He'll be present with us at all times. It was of God, and they suffered for Him. It was of God, and they were encouraged by Him. And then it was of God, and they were fearless for Him. We need Christians like this today. We need Christians that will take a stand. We don't need Christians that will get up and give political speeches. We need Christians that will get up and give biblical speeches. It was of God, and they were fearless for Him. Notice what the Bible says. Verse 20, when it said, go, stand, and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together, and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, the prison truly found we shut with all safety. And the keepers standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within. Now, when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. They was afraid that this was going to get out, you know. They were afraid of this miracle-working God and what was going to be said. So then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence. For they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with His right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are His witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey Him. And when they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Although these apostles, they had just gotten out of prison for speaking in the name of Jesus. They were just delivered. The angel said, go stand and speak in the temple. You know what they did? They went and stood and they spoke in the temple. They were in jail for preaching Jesus. And the very moment they get out of jail, they go right back to preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. I love what God has done in their lives, and this is what we need. These apostles had just escaped, but they were not afraid to look the enemies of Christ in the face and say, we ought to obey God rather than men. They were fearless because it was of God. Do you know when you're doing what God wants you to do, you can be fearless? You don't have to worry about, you don't have to fear what man can do to you. You don't have to fear what others may say about you. We need some fearless people. in this world. You know, I mean, this Christian life is not for fraidy cats. Right? How many of y'all ever heard of a fraidy cat? Some of y'all Yankees and don't know what I'm talking about, right? Fraidy cat. Scaredy cat. Maybe you heard of scaredy cat. Scaredy cat, yeah. You know, I'm a big chicken when it comes to certain things. I'm a big fraidy cat when it comes to certain things. I don't want to be fearful when it comes to the things of God. I won't back down. Now, the other day, I was mowing. Mickey don't know anything about this. I was mowing it over here in the front of the fellowship hall. On that riding lawnmower, you know, you get to going real fast on that thing. And I'll tell you what happened. I went right between two trees, and when I went between two trees, you know what happened, don't you? Spider went, you know? I mean, and I'm like, you know, and all of a sudden I'm doing all this stuff, and you know, and I'm getting ready to scream like a wildcat. You know, I'm wanting to scream, and my heart, you know, and then you start doing all these things, and I mean, you're repenting, you're telling God, I mean, your life is passing before you because there's something going to get you, and you're scared to death, and all of a sudden, I mean, I look over here, and I see this big old, you know, one of them big old brown leaves on my shoulder, and that leaf about sent me to heaven early because I knew it was a spider, and I was scared to death, you know? There are some things it's all right to be afraid of. And spiders and snakes and rats. Be afraid of those things. Ugh. I'm telling you, I honestly did. You go through one, you know. I mean, the rest of the day, I felt everything crawling on me. Everything crawling on me. And I imagined it. I felt it. I believed it with all of my heart, you know. I mean, I'm telling you, it's just like my salvation experience. I believed it with all my heart. Something is on me. I was so afraid. You would have been afraid too. But when it comes to taking our stand for God, we have to be fearless. The reason is because when we know we're doing God's will, we need not fear what man can do. Because God will stand with us. The council had warned them not to even mention the name of Jesus in Jerusalem anymore. But they said, hey, this is the one that God hath raised up, and you slew him and you hanged him on a tree. But God raised up this Jesus. They said, don't talk about him anymore. They said, well, we want to tell you about Jesus. You killed him. You put him on the cross. But God raised him up. Jesus, that's who it was. They were fearless. They were fearless for him because they knew they were doing the will of God. And I wonder how many people where you work at, how many people in your neighborhood and how many people in this community would like for us just to close the doors and shut it down and to shut your mouth up about the witness, about what Christ has done for you? A lot of people in this world would like to do that. Look, they can pass laws, but they cannot stop us. We ought to obey God rather than men. And I believe that Christians ought to be a law-abiding citizen, but I believe there is a law that's higher than the laws of our land, and that is God's precious word. And if the law of the land says you can't go out and tell people about Jesus, it does not matter. We have to go out and tell people about Jesus because that's what we'll stand before the Lord for. I'd rather stand before a judging court for telling people about Jesus than stand before the Lord Jesus Christ in glory for not telling people about Jesus. Wouldn't you? We've got to be fearless. That's what has happened to our land. You want to know why our land is going to hell in such a hurry? Because Christians have gotten afraid. Can there be a turnaround? God's still on the throne. But He's not going to turn it around. He uses people. And we have to be fearless for Him. It was of God. May I ask you a question tonight? Is it God's will for us to tell people about Jesus? Is it God's will for us to tell our neighbors about Jesus? Is it God's will for us to tell our co-workers about Jesus? Is it God's will for us to tell people at the supermarket about Jesus? Is it God's will for us to tell people at the ballpark about Jesus? Is it God's will for us to tell everybody about Jesus? It is God's will. And if it be of God, they can't stop us. They can try to shut it down, just like they tried to here. But old Gamaliel knew what he was talking about. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it. Let's happy to be found even to fight against God. And maybe that's exactly what our country needs to do. We need to be right with God as believers, and we need to be marching forward and doing what God wants us to do, and let them try to shut us down. And when they try to shut us down, let them fight against God. But what we do is we back ourselves up into a corner, and we get down and we hunker down, and we feel like we're so afraid because, you know, somebody might say something about us, or we might get our feelings hurt just a little bit. But dear friend, we ought to be willing to get our feelings hurt because Jesus gave His life for us. It was of God they were fearless for Him. So many have been silenced by the persecution of this world. But I'm glad I know a lot of people that are fearless. I know people in this church that don't stop from telling anybody what the Lord's done. That's great. And then it was of God, and they were joyful in Him. Here they are. They just gotten out of prison. And they go and they do the very thing that they told them to stop doing that got them put into prison. Then they get persecuted, and they're told, "Did we not tell you to quit preaching in Jesus' name? Quit telling others about Jesus." And they said, "We're going to obey God. We're not going to worry about what you have to say. We're going to obey God." It was of God, and they suffered for Him. It was of God, and they were encouraged by Him. It was of God, and they were fearless for Him. But it was of God, and they were joyful in Him. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 40. "And to Him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them," they just got out of prison, but now they're getting beaten, "they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. They departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name." But it doesn't stop there. "And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." They said, "Hey! We may have to suffer, but isn't it great to suffer for Him?" They rejoiced, the Bible said, they rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. These apostles didn't whine and cry or complain about the imprisonment or the whipping, but they rejoiced in Christ that they were worthy to be counted as one that would suffer for Him. I have no doubt their mind went back to Calvary. And they saw Him hanging there again. That precious body of His that you couldn't even recognize as a human being. That precious Lamb of God. And they said, "Look what He did for me. I'm not stopping. As a matter of fact, if I suffer, I'm going to count it all joy. I'm going to rejoice that I'm suffering for Him." And they kept on preaching, and they kept on teaching Jesus Christ. This wasn't just an emotional moment that passed this day. Peter, one of those apostles, wrote later when he in the book of 1 Peter chapter 4, he said, "But rejoice in as much as you're partakers of Christ's suffering." In other words, if you're suffering, if it be of God and you're suffering, you keep on doing what God wants you to do. If it be of God, dear friends, nobody can stop it. And we don't have to stop. The law of our land says we don't have to stop. But even if that law said we had to, we cannot stop. We must go on. When you give your life totally to Jesus, there will be suffering. There will be. I wish I could tell you there wouldn't be. I wish I could tell you when you give your life to Jesus, you get $1 million in the bank, new car, new house, new everything. But that's just not the case. When you give your life and you commit yourself fully to doing God's will, there's a reproach to bear. But if there was ever a reproach worth bearing, that's the reproach. The reproach of the cross. Must Jesus bear the cross alone? All the world go free. No, there's a cross for everyone. There's a cross for me. As we consecrate ourselves to the Lord, it won't be easy to live for Him in this world. But the truth of the matter is, if it be of God, here's the problem that most people quit. Here's the reason. A lot of people quit. It's just not of God. What they're doing is not of God. Look, I know preachers, and they'll use stories like this to try to beat somebody down with. I'm talking about they'll go out and they say, "Bless God, I'm going to tell you whether you like it or not." Well, that's not of God. You live for God and trust the Lord and walk by faith and talk by faith. God will open up doors and God will give opportunities and you can step through that. And yes, it may cause suffering. And yes, it may cause some heartaches. And yes, it may be difficult at times. But if it be of God, it cannot be stopped. Don't you know preachers that are overbearing about certain things? And I mean, it's just like they're looking for a way to be thrown into jail so they can say, "I've suffered for Jesus." I know them. And you do too. There's preachers that used to be in this area. They were always, all they want to do is pick a fight with the government. Look, I don't want to fight the government. But I don't want to quit doing what God wants me to do. And the only way that I ever want to have to fight government is if I'm doing what God wants me to do and the government intrudes on me. I'm not going to try to intrude on them. We just need to do what God tells us to do. And if it brings trouble, then we're going to trust the Lord with it. And if it be of God, it can't be stopped. But if it's not of God, it'll die out anyway. Now, how many of those preachers that you know? How many of y'all knew at least one, two, maybe four or five preachers in this area that was just like what I'm talking about? How many knew preachers like that? How many of y'all know some of them that still serve the Lord? But they're, anybody know any of them that's still serving the Lord, really faithfully serving the Lord? Not many, do you? You don't know why? Not of God. If it be of God, you can't stop it. Why has this church made it all these years? If it be of God, you can't stop it. We went through it, battled it, but it's continued on. Other churches have closed doors. Other churches have went by the wayside. You understand? If it be of God. We need to get into what God wants us to be done. We need to give our life to doing what God wants us to do, where God wants us to do it, and just go forward. And if it be of God, can't overthrow it. They may fight us, but if it be of God, we don't have to fight back. God will fight for us. We take our stand, but God will do our fighting. You remember back in the Old Testament story, the book of the Hebrew children and the Egyptians hot on their trail? What was it that was said? The Lord fights for them. What chance do we have? The Lord will do our fighting. We just need to do His will. Amen? Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Want to encourage us tonight. Just realize that if we're doing what God wants us to do, God will take care of us. Here's these men. They were thrown in prison, right? So they suffered. We understand that, right? God released them from prison. Did their suffering quit then? No. They were beaten again. But did they stop? We cannot stop. It doesn't matter if you're here. If God moves you to China, then you go and you just keep doing what God wants you to do and don't stop if it's what God has for you. Wherever you are, serve the Lord. Whatever, wherever God leads you, follow Him, because God has a plan and a purpose for your life. Amen? Lord, we love You. Thank You for loving us. Pray that You'll help us now. Help us to realize, Lord, that as we do Your will,